What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark Scorers with you on a Monday. And quick point of parliament here, Andrew Andrews watching on the YouTube.
There's no way that's his real name.
Can't be. Good morning. Hear rumors that y'all are giving out Blues tickets today. Is that true? Hot dog it is.
How'd you know? Who told you?
Who did you tell him?
I didn't tell Andrew. I don't know anybody named Andrew Andrews.
Hey, Andrew, how do you know that? Who told you that?
Yeah, why are you blowing us up here?
Yeah. Anyway, keep listening because we are giving away tickets for...
Opening night.
Opening night, October 9th. Against the Minnesota Wild.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even joking.
Yeah,
this is real. We're giving away Blues tickets.
We're not lying about it.
We're not lying about it. The rumors are true. At any rate, so keep listening. You don't want to miss your chance to win the Blues tickets.
Also, Amy, yes. I got this email about the NCAA men's championship, you know, in basketball, college basketball. I guess I completely forgot we were hosting a first and second round this year.
I didn't know that.
We're one of the first second round sites for the NCAA tournament in 2026.
One of the first second round sites.
First and second rounds, yeah.
First and second rounds. Excellent.
So, yeah, today you can win a... That's just completely has nothing to do with anything.
I know,
just received this email.
Derailing.
So you can win those tickets today. And as Amy said, you have to be listening for your chance to win. So don't start calling in now.
Yeah, do not, guys, just... Jeez, do not do that. Meanwhile...
It's like you're not even listening.
I feel that happens a lot.
I feel
like people are a little too flippant with the way they listen to our show.
They just, come on, man, pay attention.
We're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Pajeski, our intrepid producer, alive and
he's
well.
He's not intrepid.
He's incredibly intrepid.
Is
very,
he?
Very intrepid.
He's
what does that mean?
The most intrepidest.
Intrepid.
I don't know.
Intrepid. Matthew returned from Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yes, it was amazing. I'd never been to the Rockies before. First time in a national park other than the Arch. I was amazed at the views. It was great to not have cell phone service for close to a week. And I was just amazed at what I saw. And I feel like I'm a pretty good traveler. I am so good at traveling airports and getting
on
trains.
Can I stop you real quick before we get to this, how good you are at this?
Yes.
Can you tell everybody how you saw a dead body?
Come on, you saw a dead body.
I shouldn't have told him.
Okay. Well, I did see a dead body.
Well, this is actually a really sad story. It was a national story about a hiker.
While we were hiking in Rocky Mountain National Park, we were seeing signs for a missing person who had already been missing for a few days. And while we were hiking one day, we noticed a helicopter kept following us and was hovering nearby the entire time. Eventually, we saw the helicopter kind of lower near out into the side of one of the mountains. It lowered, and I'm watching it with my binoculars. Mm-hmm. And when the helicopter takes flight again, it's carrying a body bag, like tethered to it. And we had already known about this missing person, and we're thinking that might be him. Yeah. If it is him, I wonder if he's alive or if it's just his remains. I don't know. And then a couple of days later, they confirmed that it was the guy who was missing, and he was dead. And it was horrible. And it was gross to even just see the bag underneath the helicopter. It was really disturbing.
Yeah.
So thanks for bringing that up again.
I know.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I think it's
important.
So here's the thing. And then we say this all the time, like, because I love hiking in the mountains. Obviously, Matt, you know, you get it. You're like, you get it now. The mountains are amazing. But they're no joke.
Yeah,
like, when things go wrong, and I don't know what happened to this man, but when things go wrong, I mean, they go wrong. One, you fall. You get lost. It gets dark. The temperature changes where it's 70 degrees and suddenly it's raining and it's 30 degrees.
Yeah. And it's just pine trees for hundreds of miles for as far as you can see with no trails nearby. Yeah. I mean, you can just be lost in there for weeks and nobody would ever find you. And you don't have cell phone service. There's a kind of a creepy feeling about being up there and it's cold and it's certain landscapes are considered tundra because there's no trees anymore. It's just barren. Like, it is kind of scary to think about. If I was lost here and it was dark, what would I do? but I have to fight a bear.
Yeah.
Or well, I have set to up shelter fight. Or
well,
something.
Well, that's why, like, so, like, when I hike, like, you always, and I would say this to everybody, get a massive battery charger, like recharger, a portable charger. Carry that with you. And then also download something. Now, they say you can do it with Google Maps now. I have all trails. You can also have, separate from your phone, a GPS finder. Like, if you're doing real backwoods, you know, back mountain hiking, you have to have some kind of GPS. Because, like you said, you get disoriented. People have, you can cliff out. I've almost cliffed out once. And cliffing out means you climb up a mountain to a peak, and like I said, you're scrambling. You're not walking. Now you're grabbing onto rocks and kind of climbing. You're not using ropes, but you have to go up a certain route. That's the route. You get up top, you walk around, you look at the view. It's amazing, and then you realize, I don't know the route down.
Yeah.
And I had that happen one time, and it might be the worst feeling I've ever had in my life. It's making me feel sick thinking about it. Where you're cliffed out, and it's only because I waited until I saw someone else come up, and I ran to them, and I'm like, we got to get down to this spot now. Oh, it's the worst feeling. Yeah.
We were 12,000 feet up, and there's not guardrails along the road, and you're just one wrong turn or your brakes give out. They tell you not to use your brakes unless you have to. They want you to switch into manual and switch into a lower gear when you're going down the mountain in your car, otherwise your brakes will burn out.
It's crazy.
Well, that's not good.
And then the car doesn't run the same because there's less oxygen. Yeah. It's such a different world.
It is.
So you didn't die while you were there, which is good.
No.
But you also think that you were the most efficient at getting there.
I think I'm pretty efficient. Just because I notice people around me who are inefficient. I see the guy who is struggling to find his ID in line at TSA. Like, this, you didn't think this through. Or the guy who didn't have his boarding pass ready. I'm like, we're in line for 10 minutes. Don't you see other people doing this already? Don't you think, maybe I should be ready too? So I'm always ready. I've got my ID, got my passport or whatever ready. TSA rules are different now. You leave your shoes on. You don't put certain things in the bin. Like, they tell you not to separate your liquids anymore, not to separate your electronics. People are doing that. Mm. And TSA is like, no, all in one bag. I'm like, I read the signs. I'm ready to go. Nobody's yelling at me. So,
do you have pre-check?
No.
Oh, got to get pre-check, brother.
I had no problems. But then I pack one bag because I like to travel light. My bag perfectly fits in the overhead compartment. I'm not struggling to get it in, you know.
Perfectly fit.
This guy.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm in group four for boarding, I'm getting up when they call group four. I'm not getting up at group one and waiting by the terminal or, you know, waiting by the gate. I'm good. I feel like I know what I'm doing.
What airline did you fly?
United.
I feel like more people
should be like you is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, did United change their carry-on rule? I'm going to engage in some rank speculation now. I heard from someone who flew United and said, you can't bring a carry-on and a personal item. Now you only get a personal item.
I had a carry-on and my coat. Like, I don't know if that counts.
So, okay, so
what
we don't know.
What is a personal item?
So,
I thought that is carry-on.
No, so I have when I do my carry-on, I have like a hard shell carry-on, right, that fits in the overhead,
right.
A rolling hard shell carry-on and a backpack, which fits under the seat. Your personal item has to fit under the seat. And now, someone told me that, like,
okay,
either you can't have a carry-on and they charge you, or you can't have a personal item. I don't remember, but they said United just changed the rules. But we don't know because you had a carry-on, but no personal item.
Right.
Because a tiny little purse, they say it counts. It doesn't. Like, I've worn a fanny pack before, but, like, it doesn't count as a personal item.
Well, no, because it's kind of on your body.
Yeah, it's on your body.
Right.
But a backpack, technically on your body, but you have to put it under the seat.
And I wanted to pack light, so I brought like one big backpack, but it's tough to get everything in there. So I'm wearing things that I wouldn't normally be wearing to save room. So
like Joey and Friends, where he wears all his clothes.
I wore my winter coat in a 95 degree day. And then I also wore my hiking boots in the plane because those things are huge.
So that's
take
a
go-to. So
I wear hiking boots on the plane because they're so big.
Yes.
It's easier just to wear the boots on the plane. Yeah.
That's an interesting tip.
Yeah.
I did.
You wear your hiking boots on the plane and you tie your winter coat around
your
waist.
Summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
because I needed that coat in the mountains. It gets down to 50.
So
I love the idea of you showing up to the airport when it's 95 in a giant coat.
Why didn't you tie it around your waist?
Do you have to?
That's girly looking, right?
Because we flew to Reno where it's 110. I had a winter coat tied around my waist.
Do you have to take, you don't have to take your coat off anymore? When you go through screening?
Well, I think you do.
Now.
I'm in TSA pre-check. I don't know if you have to. Okay. I always take off my big coat. So the thing is, they don't want, when you go through screening, you don't have to, if it's tied around your waist, you got to take it off. So I have my my coat, but I also have a super duper packable puffer where you can like squeeze it down to the size of a softball.
Packable puffer. I love that so good. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I used to have one of those jackets.
Because you can,
they get very, very hot.
They do. And that, but that's what's so nice is that, that you can squeeze them down to the size of a softball, but you can also fit them under another coat. Because like Matt, like I'm telling you, the weather changes and it's insane. And if you get stuck or if you get stuck overnight, like hypothermia is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, the ultra marathoners, like the Leadville 100 was this weekend, I believe. And so you are running 100 miles through the mountains, like 20,000 feet of elevation gain. And you think, well, you're running, so you're staying warm. It gets so cold in the mountains and you're running slow enough that the one of the biggest issues for 100-mile runners is hypothermia. Insane.
I got sunburned when it was like 60 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we get sunburned skiing, though.
Well,
yeah.
It's because normally you're pink. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. This text message, Matt, wants to know if you would like a cookie.
Or being a good traveler?
Yeah.
I did take a cookie from the plane. The
so
stewardess.
Did anyone acknowledge and just look at you and give you the old like nod or wink
it's a thankless job.
Could you hold on a second? Did you just say stewardess? How old are you?
Isn't that what they are?
No, they're flight attendants.
Oh, okay. Always said stewardess since the 80s.
I think
you weren't even alive.
A steward and a stewardess.
He watches old movies. Shay, it's the stewardess, Shay.
Then I smoked a cigarette in the plane.
I was next to a couple of dames on the plane. I tried to get a phone number. They said
Underhill, 74.
Damn. Operator, I'd like to get Underhill 741, please.
I met this dame on the plane, see?
Dude, what's the matter with you?
I love it.
Well, Matt, we're proud of you. Glad you made it back.
Thanks. I can't believe no one congratulated you or complimented you on your travel efficiency.
You know, I don't want the thanks. It should be expected. You should be efficient in and out of TSA, in and out of wherever you are, the plane. You know, people that stand up in the back of the plane as soon as they land, you're not going anywhere anytime soon. Why are you standing up? I sit still. I'm sorry.
And
I
you can't even
forever.
Stand up all the way. You do the stand up bend because the overhead part is you're just like, ugh, your neck is bent.
Yeah, I just sit. I'm with you on that one.
I stand up
just
a lot.
But have some damn patience.
Yes.
I start to stand up early because I want people to know that I'm going to get my bag out of the overhead compartment really fast.
And I can get my bag out fast because it's compact. I'm not struggling to get it out. You know
what's the brand of your bag?
It's an REI bag.
Oh, REI is the best.
Yeah.
Well, REI is legit. It is. I know people probably used to view it as a knockoff or like a, you know, just a brand, the store brand versus like the North Face. REI is where it's at, man. I hike with REI stuff. My backpack is REI.
Texter says they love how Amy thinks everyone in the past sounded like a gangster.
Say?
Didn't they?
Didn't they?
I kind of thought they did.
If you said dame and stewardess.
Everybody's doing that.
Yes. You know, an old-timey conversation. Hey, Ronge, I went on an airplane.
I've seen Casablanca. I know what they talk like. Isn't that how everybody spoke?
Yeah, obviously they did. Or they did this. The boys over there are playing the Yankees and the Cardinals. Like that. Like everything was very, sing-songy.
There was a texter when you were talking about the spray bottle with the making yourself at the ballpark.
It wasn't my idea. It was the Philly Fanatic.
Philly Fanatic says to keep yourself fresh and clean and not stinky at the ballpark.
Yeah.
1/3 vodka, 2/3 water in a spray bottle and spray yourself down.
Or he said a squeegee bottle, which I guess would be like the Gatorade bottles.
Yeah. And this texter says spray the whole bottle in your mouth. You won't care about how you smell.
That's a great point.
That is very true.
I just want to say we got in trouble for having a conversation about phone numbers. And we're like, we need to keep this show young. And then we come back in the next hour. Sure, you're talking about the stewardess.
We're trying to appeal to everybody today.
You know what it is? No, it's Matt. He's the old guy.
He really is.
I didn't know the exchange number thing. I still don't get it.
Hey, I heard from Pam. Pam,
all right.
No.
All right.
Her phone number was triangle.
Okay. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
The Bears won big time. Now let's see what they can do in the real season.
It's a voice message from Bob,
who I
think just got out of the dryer. Bob, when you're leaving a... if you're on the Odyssey app and you're leaving a voice message, highly recommend that you don't fumble the phone while you're doing it. But we do appreciate Bob for trying.
I like to picture Bob going to leave a voice message, falling down the stairs while he's doing it, standing up and going, it's fine.
Should I redo that? No. We're good. And just, I would like to I'd like to reiterate that, I guess I didn't even iterate the first time.
You never iterated.
But the Bears last night, preseason game against the Bills, dominant. Absolutely dominant.
Do you know what the key word there is?
Yeah, preseason.
Yeah, that's right. That's
anyway,
right.
A couple of people have texted in and have said, you know, I'm like this texter here says, just missed a little bit of the show in and out of my 18-wheeler. Let's go, truck drivers.
Love truck driver. Hey, remember his dream, take a shower in the truck drivers.
Not with the truck drivers. I want to take a shower. I want to take a shower in a truck stop.
That's right.
I don't know why that's a big deal. I just want to do it. So this 18-wheeler driver says that they have been in and out of the 18-wheeler. Did you happen to mention how awesome the Bears looked last night? I haven't. I held off for a good 80 minutes.
Well, I mean, the Bears look great in my imagination. It's the same thing.
No, it isn't. This was against a very good football team. Of course, Josh Allen didn't play, but that doesn't matter.
Josh Allen, not that big of a deal for the Bills. This basically counts as a win.
It was a stomping.
Ronge, listen. I'm not going to stomp on your
optimism.
Caleb
looked great. Woo! Let's go. Let's get this regular season started.
It's going to be bad.
We have a voice message from Rod.
Okay,
on
Rod.
The Cardinals. Somewhere.
I'd like to hear him.
Rod says,
the pricing is too high not to have any stars to see like Pujols, Yachty, and Waino.
Yeah, I think there's some of that. I do think that stars bring people to the games. The familiarity is big for people. However, you can have a bunch of no-name people. Mm-hmm. If you have a bunch of Brendan Donovans, and I'm not saying he's no name, but you know he's not a superstar.
Right.
You have a bunch of Brendan Donovans, and you're winning baseball games. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what the names on the backs are. They just want wins.
Yeah, people weren't buying tickets to see David Eckstein.
No,
they were buying tickets because they were winning, and we love David Eckstein because they were winning when they had him, and now you know David Eckstein, he's done his little blip of great success with the Cardinals meant so much because the Cardinals were winning. If the Cardinals had been bad those years, nobody would remember David Eckstein.
Any fan would rather have a team full of no names winning than a team full of stars that maybe at the end and not quite as good as they used to be and just mediocre. Now, if you have a Pujols situation, that final year, sort of a farewell tour for him, you're going to get people out to the ballpark for that because that's a cool thing. You want to see Albert before he retires.
And
you want to see Yachty before he retires.
And that's the thing. All of these other reasons, high ticket prices, bad weather, no superstars. I'm not saying they're invalid. I'm saying they're contributory rather than the primary reason. They're all just ancillary.
Right.
The primary reason is winning. So it's not that they're invalid. It's a pile on versus we'll go if the Cardinals are winning.
Well, I will say this. The Cardinals and the fan base have had a really good symbiotic relationship in the last 20 years where they have delivered winning teams and the fan base has come out and supported them. Mm-hmm. And not every fan base gets that. We had somebody who texted in about the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays win and they have a difficult time getting people to the ballpark even when they're really good. And that's true of a lot of other teams,
that's
too.
That's because they have no roof right now.
The fan base is a very, very good fan base, and both sides have been fortunate for a long time.
Got a voice message from Diane.
Hi, Chris and Amy. I'm listening to you about the Cardinals and struggling to get people to come to the games. Two ideas. I think the giving away of gifts to bribe people to come to games is probably worn out. Do people really need that many bobbleheads and T-shirts?
Well, yes.
Perhaps if they connected with the community for a charity for each of the games, and 50 cents or a dollar of each ticket price would be donated to that charity. People might choose a game based on a charity that they want to support. That's number one. The giveaways, I think, are or bribery to get people. Perhaps the charity idea would work better. And then another reason is you don't feel connected to the people on the field. They've become a product. I've heard that word used. It's a product on the field. These are people. We're people. We want to come and see certain players who we admire. And I do think that's part of it. Winning isn't all of it.
Appreciate the voice message on the Odyssey app. The Cardinals do a lot of charitable stuff, and Cardinals Care is their 50-50. The raffle they do is half of that goes to charity.
And people love the bobbleheads. They love the bobbleheads. And I will say this. I get if you don't feel a connection to the players on the field, but there are some connections. In fact, one I've noticed, the pitcher that's really struggling the most, you could say, is Miles Michaelis. He hasn't had a great year. He's been struggling for a while. He's had some horrific games. And people will criticize his play, but a lot of people I've heard who criticize his play follow it up with, but I don't want to, rail against the guy. Like, he seems like a good guy, a good family man. I like his personality. I think he is someone that a lot of Cardinals fans, while they're frustrated with his play, they definitely see him as a human because they don't want to criticize the guy. They're criticizing his play.
Right.
Because people love Miles Michaelis, and he's struggling. It's his play, but they always come around with, but they still like him, seem to like him as a person or like him as a personality.
Text message says, for the rest of the season at least, just make the games far less expensive, cheap tickets, cheap concessions, just sell some tickets. And you're probably going to see a little bit of that. They do have dynamic pricing, so they'll, they adjust in that way. I will say this with concessions, it's pretty much across the board with a couple of exceptions. It's pricey. It's expensive to, buy concessions at a ballpark or any other kind of stadium. It's because you're sort of captive. But I do believe you can bring snacks to the ballpark and drinks to the ballpark on your own.
I mean, that's a huge cost saver. As going to the movie theater can be more expensive than going to a Cardinals game right now.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. In fact, let's...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Extend the Cardinals conversation. We'll talk about their weekend series against the Yankees. Didn't go particularly well, and they will start one against the Marlins tonight in Florida. Scott Warman, studio host of FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, with us next on KMOX.
Next one, Bozo swings, and he drives that one. Deep left center field, way back, and it's a gunner for Bozo. 4-3 Cardinals in the bottom of the sixth.
Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX. Time to go to the guest line today. We welcome in studio host on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. You will see Scott Warman on the broadcast throughout the course of the regular season. And Scott is with us now on KMOX talking Cardinals baseball. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
We are doing great. The weekend didn't go so great, though, against the New York Yankees team. When people were clamoring for Aaron Boone to be fired, I suppose this weekend saved his job.
Doing our part.
Yeah. So, you saw the weekend happen, and we kind of know where the Cardinals are, what their intent is moving forward. I mean, do you take much away from that weekend?
Can we get healthy?
Yeah. Well, there you go.
That might be a starter. We're in the dog days, Chris, and it's obviously not spiraling the way the Cardinals would want it to spiral right now, especially when you lose two games to Colorado and now three against the team that's starting to heat up. I mentioned on our pregame show, Judge is starting to heat up. That's a great thing for the Yankees, obviously, because they faltered after being in first place for a better part of this 2025 season. So what do I take out of it? Well, I take out of it is the fact that, and I'll even kind of mention during his post game, is, yeah, you're going to see mistakes. We saw a couple of errors in the ninth inning yesterday's game, and it's something that is an adjustment for a lot of us. That's a part of the learning process. and unfortunately it was Thomas Jacy that made a couple of errors. But one of the things I pointed out with my partner Mark Sweeney was the fact that even if Jacy, if you look at the shot that we have behind home plate, if Jacy does make the grab on that second play, Jojo Romero didn't even go over to first base to cover. And to see, and we've talked about it, I've talked to you guys about it, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, is how well, for most of this season, the Cardinals have played, you know, terrific fundamental baseball. And for whatever reason, again, it's one of those things, Chris, you've seen it, you know, covering baseball for a long time. When things kind of go out of control, it's like the domino effect. Everything is unfortunately snowballing, and not in a good way, unfortunately, for the Cardinals right now. But maybe, you know, you get down to the Sunshine State this week and you can kind of right the ship, even though you look at the pitching matchups the Cardinals have coming up in this three-game series against the Marlins. They got some tough customers that they're going to face in a team that has been surprisingly competitive this year in the Miami Marlins.
You mentioned injuries, and Victor Scott goes on the IL with that sprained ankle, which happened on Saturday. So with that being the case, with him being out, how do you see playing time being affected in terms of, you know, because I know the Cardinals right now, as we've been talking about for weeks, one of the intents of the season was to get a good look at some of these younger players and just see what they have so they can make better decisions for 2026 and beyond. So how does him being out affect playing time?
You know, honestly, I think it's a great opportunity. If you even look at some of the numbers from Nathan Church, who is a part of the 2022 draft class, he was 11th, I believe, overall, 11th round, I should say. He's had a terrific season. He's gone up, started in single A for a short period, double A, and was even hitting it in triple A before he got his major league debut yesterday. But one of the best outfielders that the Cardinals have had in their minor league system from last year moving into this year. So you have to give, as the word and the term we've used a lot here this year, guys, is runway. I would imagine you're going to give this young man an opportunity to get some runway and get an opportunity and see what you have in a guy like Nathan Church. The other part of this whole thing and the domino effect is you are getting other guys opportunities because the team has been shorthanded with injuries, not only Victor Scott II with his ankle injuries he sustained on Saturday night trying to grab that home run from Judge in the game, but you know he didn't have Wilson Contreras or Brendan Donovan who are available because they're nursing some injuries right now. So when you look at it, Chris, you've got a team where you have your nine starters, which includes the DH, so you only had two guys on the bench. I mean, so Ollie's hands were really tied down this weekend because he couldn't utilize maybe a bench or use a double switch or anything like that to his liking because he was limited in the amount of guys they had available on his bench. So even when Contreras and Donovan, and the hope is after giving the weekend off that they could be up and running starting the series against Miami, I still think that you will see, you know, Church get this opportunity to play some center field until Victor's back. And yes, I think you will see a little bit of Nootbaar play, probably some center field as well, and give him some leeway. But unfortunately, he left the game yesterday, too. And that was just cramping. So Garrett Hampson had to come into the game in place of Newt yesterday. So, again, it's just been the snowball effect. And it's been tough for this ball club. There's no doubt about it.
Got to play the roster you're given. So just in terms of that, generally speaking, what sort of job do you think Ollie Marmol has done with that?
I think he's done an amazing job. I give Ollie all the credit in the world for, you know, and I know the three of us have talked about this. Or I know it's been talked about on KMOX when I've been on shows or listening is, you know, the expectations before the season weren't very high. And what the Cardinals did through the first 3 months of the season was completely unexpected. And I think he is doing everything to keep these guys together and keep them continuing to compete. And that's what I know Ollie even said during his post-game press conferences. Yeah, you're going to have mistakes. Yeah, it's hot out. Yeah, this, you can make all the excuses in the world. But, you know, this is, as we've said for so many years, when you're in a situation like this, you're competing to make a roster and to get a position on this team for next year. Or if it winds up that you're a part of a potential deal come the off season, then, you know, there's other teams that are looking at you right now. How do you respond as a player when things aren't going so well? Because that's going to increase your value as a player, not only maybe within that organization, but within the league. And I think that's going to be, honestly, a true test for a lot of these players here for the next, 6 weeks we have left in the season.
Yeah, Scott, I think the way the series went against the Rockies and the Yankees, if they didn't seal the deal for Cardinals fans, I mean, it put such a damper on it that I found myself starting to anticipate the offseason a bit more. Think, okay, what are we going to do in the offseason? We know there's the changeover from Mozeliak to Heim Bloom, but I don't know if it was the Cardinals being better in their first 3 months, if it was the fact that we still had Arenado, but I feel like there is murkiness or cloudiness in the vision for this team. Like, can you pinpoint the vision by the front office for this team going into the offseason?
Great point. And I think the vision, we don't know in totality, because essentially the person that will be in charge once the season is over with is not in charge right now. So that's where I think what you're talking about and alluding to, Amy, is murky, but the part that is crystal clear is the guys like the Walkers, the guys like the Gormans, the guys even like the Mason Wynn, who's proven himself through, you know, his second season. I mean, if Mason Wynn, I know other people have mentioned this as well, Mason Wynn, if he doesn't get a gold glove, it's just absolutely asinine, in my personal opinion. I mean, he definitely has been a young man that is the highlight of this young group that I think can spark and be potentially a leader on this team, you know, with them moving forward. But, you know, again, getting the runway of some of these guys. I think Alec Burleson has given the opportunity because of injuries. If you go back to June, he's been playing pretty much every day. And I think from an offensive standpoint, I think Alec has proven himself that, yeah, he is deserving of getting an everyday chance, whether that's left field or first base or a designated hitter. Ivan Herrera is a guy that can hit. Problem with Ivan Herrera, same with Lars Nootbaar, is a guy that just he hasn't been able to sustain health. And so you got to take that into a factor. I know, in fact, Ivan talked to our own Jimmy the Cat Hayes yesterday, and Ivan still wants to be a catcher. He's made that perfectly clear with Ollie Marmol. He's made that apparently clear from what he told Jimmy yesterday in terms of the management as well, is that's his position that ultimately he wants to play. But he's been a team player going out to left field, which he hadn't played since he was a teenager, just because the team has been shorthanded and you got to try these things out. So from that point, yes, crystal clear is, okay, are these guys major league ready? They're getting this opportunity now. And then they, meaning Heim Bloom and the new management, are now making those assessments as far as what's going on with the major league club right now, whether they think, okay, we think that this guy can do this, that, or the other thing. I think Jordan Walker is another one. We pinpointed him and broke down how he has improved just his overall plate approach from an offensive standpoint. He's covering, as we mentioned, he's covering the plate better. You would watch games the first half of the season, Amy, and he was swinging and missing as they were throwing pitches on the outside edge of the plate, and it was called swing and miss. Well, he's doing it much better. In fact, we had a number where his numbers as average for hitting balls on the outside part of the plate was .096 before the All-Star break, and since the All-Star break, he's almost batting .300. So, again, you're seeing improvement there, just those little things for Jordan Walker. So how does the new management assess that? That's mm-hmm. where I think the murky part is because we're going into a new phase, a new management that we haven't seen, honestly, Amy, in quite a long time, almost two decades when you really think about it.
Yeah, I think that's where it's so murky for me because on one hand, you're saying, well, you know, these guys are still relatively young and you're looking at Nolan Gorman. Is he it? Is this what we're seeing now it? Or is he going to develop more? Jordan Walker, is he going to improve? At the same time, all those guys are for sale if the price is right. So there's not like a hard lean in to the current roster. And so I can't tell looking at the offseason if it's murky because the plan hasn't been delineated by the front office, or if it's murky because there's not much.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
To look at.
I don't think it's been delineated by the new management. But I mean, from what we've seen, especially here lately, I think it's murky from what you've seen on the field. There's no question about it. But again, that's all. Look, if we decipher into things that we do from a professional standpoint, we have our moments. I've been doing what I do for 30 some odd years now. Amy, you and I have had this discussion when you first started working with us on hockey and Curbs brought you along. You had your moment. Now you're just a seasoned veteran. Ronj can do the same thing. And so that's what we're doing, is we're learning from these guys. And I think that's what the new management, Heim Bloom and company, are also learning. What do we have here with some of these other players? Where do you think we can slot them? Are they an everyday player, or are they a guy that probably is more apt to being a guy on the bench? And again, I think it's also unsettling, and what you're discussing here, Amy, is the fact that we've never been in this position before. You know, you think about, we've been so lucky for more times than not until the last couple of years, where we're positioning, our team is positioning itself to make a run at the playoffs. I even mentioned that, you know, I have one young producer who's not even from the area, and I told him, I said, look, in 2016, 2017, and 2018, Cardinals didn't make the playoffs, but if you go back and look at the history of those 3 years, the Cardinals were in it. If it wasn't the last day, it was at least within the last week of the season. They were always competitive. And so when you see that and what we've seen over two of the last 3 years, that's also, I think, what makes this kind of a, I guess you could kind of call it a different or a strange situation that we're all living in right now with the ball club.
I appreciate that you said Amy had her moment. Like, she's washed now.
No, I think he was saying I had my bad moment. Amy, I knew she's you washed. When you sucked. That's what he's saying.
Say you suck.
No,
well,
it's just implied.
I did. It was implied. That. Listen, we all know it. I know it. I'm going to go cry.
I still make mistakes. I'm going, can I believe I just said that? How stupid am I? What am I thinking?
Remember
You're
when
great,
Scotty
Scott.
Warman hurt my feelings?
I remember. You know what, though? You had it coming. Scott, thank you.
I'm
Scott,
excited about JJ.
Scott,
Weather.
Listen. Yeah. Thank you for saying what we're all thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever,
I
Scott.
I didn't say current. I said past. Yeah.
Well, I remember
this
when
current
you sucked,
moment.
Scott.
All right, Scott Warman, go do
this
work.
This thing's gone completely off the rails.
Yeah.
This is
way
every,
to go, Raji.
This is every show, every segment. Scott Warman, thank you so
Scott.
Much, man. It's
Whatever.
Good to talk to you.
All right, guys. Great to chat.
That's Scott Warman. FanDuel Sports Network Midwest. You can see him on pre- and post-game coverage, studio host there.
Well, Amy, don't be so hard.
Yeah, remember when
Walker.
You stunk, Amy?
You
I remember.
Sucked. Chris well, Kerber,
damn.
Like, please, let her give her a shot. She sucks. It would be less funny if it weren't true.
This lady stinks. Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
I love the sound. I was going to say it's music to my ears, but it is. It is music to everybody's ears.
Oh, the blues.
Because it's music.
Yeah.
Yeah, the blues.
Yes, this is literally music.
Yeah. This
You're
song
correct.
Is music to my ears.
Well, the reason we're playing this. Right.
Well, the reason we're playing this. Guess what we're doing, guys, ladies and gentlemen. You're never going to believe it. And I'm saying this because I'm Hockey Amy, remember?
Hockey Amy is back.
Remember, Hockey Amy came back last year. A little bit of a rough beginning because they started on the West Coast.
If you think running Amy is unbearable, just wait for Hockey Amy.
Well, no. Hockey Amy's better because people actually care about hockey.
Okay.
Nobody cares about running.
Let me just, before you say what you're about to say, stop calling. People are calling already.
Oh,
we're not giving them away now, but what are we going to give away, Amy?
You're never going to believe it. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the Blues' actual opening night.
Against Minnesota.
Season home opener. Maybe season opener. Against Minnesota, October 9th at Enterprise.
Hell yeah. We're giving those tickets away at some point before the show
is
over. You have to be listening for your chance to win. So if you're one of these doofuses that's calling in right now,
unbelievable,
trying to win those tickets, you're just wasting your time.
Yeah.
But just keep listening and you'll get an opportunity to win later in the show. We're here until 12 o'clock.
And it's a perfect day because you know what the Blues did today? They unveiled their 2025-26 promotional calendar. So you get all the theme nights and giveaway nights. You learn all of those today. So they released all of those. But if you win, guess what you don't have to do?
Pay for it.
That's right. On October 9th.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for it. We're going to give it away.
So that is the kindness that we have on this show and the service that we provide for you.
What did you think Louie was?
I thought he was a dog. But he's a bear, right?
He's a bear.
Do you think Louie roots for the Bears?
No, probably not. He doesn't like Chicago, but he wears a I was going to say an aviator helmet. It's not an aviator helmet. No, he wears a hockey helmet.
Yeah, it's a hockey helmet.
I thought he was an aviator for a long time.
Okay. Well, I thought he was a dog.
A dog pilot.
I thought he was a dog with a Blues uniform on. And I guess he's a bear.
Should mascots start wearing pants?
No, come on. That's too much.
What do you mean it's too much?
It's too much. You don't need pants on them.
Aren't there some mascots with pants?
I probably. I just think about it. The ones that don't, the frumpy ones don't. Because you can't find chode jeans, you know, for like the Philly Fanatic and Louie and Fred Bird and people like that.
Slugger wears pants.
Slugger? Because Slugger is slim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Rangers captain? Is a horse.
Does Casey Wolf have pants?
Oh, I'm just looking at baseball right now.
Okay.
Casey Wolf does have pants.
Really?
And they're patterned.
They're patterned pants?
Yeah, they look like Hawaiian or something. I can't tell.
Does the Cincinnati Mr. Red Bags or Red Legs?
Red Bags.
Red Bags? I love watching you try to navigate through sports. It's cute.
Old Mr. Red Bags.
What are you talking about?
He wears pants too.
That's what I thought.
He does?
See? You think you know everything about baseball.
Mr. Met wears pants.
Yeah, and you think you know everything about baseball. I'm the one that brought up Mr. Redbag's pants.
Yeah, Mr. Red wears pants. Mrs. Red does not, though. That's weird.
That is very weird.
Wow, that's inappropriate.
You think he doesn't allow her to or something?
Well, don't get weird about it.
Well,
we've got a domestic.
I don't know. Hour three of the show is coming up. And when we come back, we'll talk to Chris Saliza, independent news creator. The Trump-Zelensky meeting is happening today. We'll get his thoughts on that and more. That's next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.